firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to...
Faith is the response of the soul of man to the word of God. That's what Dr. J. Vernon McGee tells us today in our continuing study of the whole Word of God. And thanks for joining us on Through the Bible. You know, Romans 10:17 reminds us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The goal of listening to the Word of God is faith, our faith in Jesus Christ and the work that God is doing in our lives. So if you ever wonder, what's the value of listening to Through the Bible? Think of just one word, faith. Listening to God's Word increases your confidence and faith in what God has done and will continue to do in your life. Faith is also the topic on the table in today's study of 1 Thessalonians. And we've just begun our journey through this fascinating letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the young church in Thessalonica. But as inexperienced as the people in this Greek town were in their faith, Paul thought they were ready to hear about the difficult concept of election. And Dr. McGee thought the same about you, as he spends a good part of today's study talking about this very important topic. What Dr. McGee reminds us of is, which I appreciate so much, is that this universe exists for God's glory and for his purpose. Nothing's going to happen that will not work out for his glory. God is in charge of running this world today. That's a comforting assurance when things so often feel out of control. I say that's good footing for our faith. If you haven't already downloaded your copy of Dr. McGee's free notes and outlines for our study, then you need to visit the resources section of ttb.org today, where you can find our digital book titled Briefing the Bible. Or if you prefer to have a paperback copy sent to you by mail, please request it at ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now let's pray as we begin our study. Father God, you are Lord of the universe, and we exist for your glory. We trust you today to teach us by your Spirit what we each need to understand. Thank you for your promise that our faith will grow as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, here in this first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, we're actually dealing with some tremendous truths. And when you think that Paul is writing to those who had only been Christians for a matter of just months, and they were about a month old when Paul left them, and now he's answering their questions and talking to them actually on a very high spiritual level. And we saw that last time when he brought together faith and love and hope, the three tenses of the Christian life, the work of faith that looks back to the cross and produces good works in the life, and a labor of love, and love and labor seem to be pretty far apart. But that is the basis and the motivation on which a child of God is to serve Christ today. And that's for the present. And then it looks into the future, the patience of hope. And that is something that hope doesn't ordinarily produce is patience. It can produce impatience, but this is a different kind of a hope. Now, Paul, in verse 4, he takes up another great truth. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And here we go again with that word election. And you will recall that back in Ephesians, in the first chapter there, and at verse 4, we dealt with it there. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, when we dealt with that before, I received letters from some folk who said that I was rather weak in emphasizing election, that I soft-pedaled it. Others thought I was rather extreme, that I went too far in talking about it. And since I got both of those reactions, one on one side, one on the other, I came to the conclusion I must be just right, because one saw it as extreme one way and one extreme another. And I knew it couldn't be both, so it must be somewhere in the middle, and that must be just about right. Well, anyway, here we go again. knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And Paul didn't mind talking to these folk there about election. And here again, we're dealing with God's side of the ledger. His side that you and I do not see, nor have we ever seen it. But there are certain great axioms of truth that we must put down. I remember that when I studied plane geometry, they put down certain things that didn't attempt to prove them. They just said, these are true, you have to accept it. And one of them is, a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. Well, I've never had an occasion to argue with that, but nobody's ever proven that to me. And yet there is a proposition in geometry that will prove that. But nevertheless, there are certain things that you accept as facts without proof. And one of the things that you have to accept is the fact that there are certain things that you can't prove that are true. And now, with that thought in mind, well, let's approach this here. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And the very interesting thing is, Paul doesn't attempt here to argue it, to prove it. He states it as a fact. Now, let's look at it from maybe a little different viewpoint. We're talking now about the sovereign right of the Creator. We must recognize today something that has really been basic in the founding of this nation, but we're so far from it today that several outstanding historians, including Dr. Heimer of the University of Michigan, that America for the past 50 years has been in control of men who do not know the origin and the beginning of our nation. And that is the tremendous impact that the Puritans made upon this nation. Now, one of the great truths that the Puritans stood for, and it's basic to their entire lifestyle, and it was the sovereignty of God. Now, that's back of election. That's back, actually, of all of life today. It is the sovereign right of the Creator. We need to recognize that He has created this universe. And I'm not concerned now with how He did it. I'm not concerned about the story in Genesis. I'm just concerned about the fact, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, there are those that are willing to say He created, but they deny Him the right to direct the universe. They deny Him the right to give a purpose to it. And may I say to you today that you and I are living in a universe that God created, and that this universe exists for His glory. And even in the Sermon on the Mount, you remember the Lord Jesus Christ said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. Oh, no. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. May I say to you today, Christian friend especially, and anyone else that's listening in, God is the Creator, and this universe exists for His glory. He is God, and beside Him there's none other. And He doesn't look to anybody for advice. He's running this universe for His own purpose. He's directing it for His own glory. And you and I live in a universe today that actually is theocentric. That means God-centered. It is not anthropocentric, man-centered. That today it is not geocentric, that is earth-centered, but it is uranocentric, that is, it's heaven-centered. Now, today, this is God's universe, and He's running it His way. Now, something else needs to be said. God is no tyrant. God is righteous. God is just. God is holy. And everything that God does, it's right. Now, you may not think so. And I want to say this to you. I have news for you. If you do not think God is right in what He's doing today, and that He's not following the best plan, The news I got for you is, you are wrong. God's not wrong. You are wrong. And you're the person that need to get your thinking correct, because if you don't, you are out of step with the universe. This universe exists for Him, for His glory, for His purpose. And there's nothing going to happen that's not going to happen today apart from His glory. And He's running this universe today. Now, with that in mind, let's look at something else. Have you ever stopped to think that the very fact that you were born at all, that's something? You could have been non-existent. I could have been non-existent. May I say to you, He never came around to me and said, Vernon McGee, do you want to come into existence? Well, I wasn't in existence. He's the one that thought of it. He's the one that's responsible. And He never asked me whether I wanted to be male or female. He never asked me whether I wanted to be born in this day that I've been born in. I did not choose my parents. I did not decide whether my parents would be godly or whether they would be wealthy. They weren't either. God today is running this universe. It's His universe. You may not like it, but it just happens to be the way that it is. And no one today is chosen against His will. And no one is rejected against His will. And God is right in all that He does. Paul says in Romans, he says, is there unrighteousness with God? And he doesn't let you or me answer it. He answers it. God forbid. Or let it not be. My friend, God is right in all that He does. And today we need to get back to that place and recognize that we are just creatures. And when you get back to the place that we're just creatures and get back to the position that you and I are not only creatures, but we are totally depraved. Oh, now I know that's not popular today. We like to pat each other on the back. In fact, we like to scratch each other's back and tell each other how wonderful we are. That's the reason they hand out loving cups and all of these knife and fork clubs. They're always recognizing somebody as the outstanding something or other. The human race has to do that to bolster us up, to make us think that we're something down here, you see. But we're in rebellion against God. And the very fact that God's even considered us. And do you know that those early Puritans that founded this country, we don't think much of them today. But my friend, you and I are living, as far as I can tell, the greatest nation that's ever been on this earth. And we are living here because of them. We didn't do it. They did do it. Other men have labored and we've entered into their labors. And one of the things that they emphasized was the liberty of each individual for private judgment. Even this sinner has that right. Why? Because no other sinner has any right to make a decision for you and me. And today, you and I have enjoyed the freedom that we've enjoyed because of these at the beginning. But this generation doesn't even know what it's all about. And that's the reason we can't make democracy work. You can't make democracy work until you know something of the sovereignty of God and you recognize you're a creature and you fall down before Him. Now, maybe you won't like this verse, but you take it up with Paul and the Holy Spirit. Don't take it up with me. I had nothing to do with it. If I had, I'd have probably softened this down. But he says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, maybe you don't like it, but that's the way it happened. And God's running this universe. Instead of getting a little placard and starting around and protesting today, why don't you fall down on your face before Him and thank Him that He even brought you into existence, that He's given you the opportunity as a free moral agent to make a decision for Him. And His invitation still goes out. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And my friend, if you're thirsty, come on. You say you're not thirsty? Forget it. That's what he says. I think God is holding out to this lost world today a salvation, and he's saying to men and women, take it or leave it. And that's where your freedom comes in. You either choose him or you'll reject him. You've got to do one or the other. And that's where your liberty comes in and your freedom. Great verse, is it not? It put a backbone back of us instead of a wishbone. And it will make us the kind of men and women that we ought to have today, not these Tweedledums and Tweedledees that today are trying to please everybody. Now, will you notice, as we come to verse 5, and here's another tremendous verse. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, will you notice this? Paul says, you knew that when we came among you, we were just human beings, just weak human beings with lips of clay, with tongues of clay, and all we could do was say words. But we gave out the Word of God, and the Word of God came to you, not just in word only, but in power. Notice this, and in the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, this makes this job that I have, and it's a job, I love it, the most wonderful job in the world. I love to teach the Word of God. And you know why? Because if I'm giving out the Word of God today, it's just words as far as Vernon McGee is concerned, and no one is more conscious of that than I am right now, by the way. But may I say this to you, that if the Spirit of God will take these words and use them, I tell you, they'll be powerful. And that's the thrill that comes to me in these letters. And I've got right here on my desk now, I suppose, 500 letters. I've been through them. I can't share them all with you. I wish I could. This man, and this is one that just catches my eye here. This man lives back east. His wife said that the first time that she turned me on, that he spent 30 minutes cussing this preacher. And I don't think he thought very much of me. But she kept tuning in the radio. And one day he argued back with me. And then she said, one day I forgot to turn it on, and he reminded me of it. And then he listened. And then one day he knelt by the radio and accepted Christ as his Savior. Now, friends, if you think that that's because I'm a super-duper salesman, well, may I say to you, I just am not a super-duper salesman. I'm not even a salesman. I don't think I could give away $5 gold pieces down in downtown Los Angeles to everybody that came by. They'd think there was a trick in it. And if I gave away $5 gold pieces, there would be a trick in it. No question about that. But the thing that is so tremendous is that the Spirit of God will use the Word of God. And that's our confidence. Now, I not only believe, now will you hear me very carefully? I not only believe that the Bible is the Word of God, that it's inerrant. Now, wait just a minute. Don't write me now, somebody, and explain to me all the introductions and all the problems about text. I've been through seminary. I actually have taught introductory courses. And I think I know a little about that. But I accept the Word of God as the inerrant Word of God, and that it is God speaking to us. Now, that doesn't end it. I go farther than that. I believe that when the Spirit of God will take this Word of God here, that it can reach into your heart and my heart, into your life and my life, and that it can transform it, and that people are born again, not by the weakness of the human flesh, not by just saying a few words here on the radio of hocus pocus, acracadabra, and that type of thing, but that actually, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever, and that the Spirit of God can take the Word of God and make it real to you. Oh, my friends, I believe that the Word of God is that kind of thing. Now, I don't think he can take the numbers in the telephone book and do much with them. And I don't think he can take the Sears and Roebuck catalog and do anything with it. I do not believe that the Spirit of God will take the popular magazines today and do anything with them. But I believe that the Spirit of God can and will take the Word of God here and make it what it is, the only miracle there is today. Therefore, I believe that I do not need gimmicks on this program. I do not have to sing you to sleep. I do not have to lull you into some comfortable place. I went on this radio with the idea I'd give out the Word of God. And by now, I don't know how many has tuned me out, but that won't make a better difference to me. If the Spirit of God doesn't want it done this way, then he gets somebody else to do it another way. But as long as I'm on the air, I'm giving out the Word of God as it is the Word of God. And that this Word of God is miraculous, and you don't need all these gimmicks that we've got today. All of this business of putting on some kind of a program to attract people. My friend, the Word of God today, if we only believed it, let me even make it personal, if I only believed it like I should believe it, I could say to you very definitely, very positively, then God in a mighty way would use the Word of God. Let me do this again. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of man we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't have time to develop that verse, but I've read it because of the fact that the Word of God went into Thessalonica, a Roman colony, which means it was not only pagan and heathen, but it was controlled by one of the greatest powers, military, government, political powers that the world has ever seen. And the Word of God went in there and reached hearts and lives and transformed them. That's what I mean, and it can still do it in this day. And I only wish I believed it like I should. Now, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus himself said would happen. He said in John 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he is come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Now, the Holy Spirit today is in the world, and he alone can convict. I cannot. No one else can. And therefore, I want the Word of God here to go out, not just in word only, and I want it to go out like that, the fact of the Word. That's important, but it needs no embellishment. It just needs to be given out, and it needs to communicate meaningfully to the hearts and lives. And if you listen, if you're an unsaved person, if you listen, friend, Jesus Christ can transform your heart and life, change you from an unbeliever and a lost sinner to become a son of God. And friends, that's the greatest miracle that can take place this day, and there's nothing quite like it. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
That is so true. Jesus Christ can transform your heart and life. I know he did for me. If you don't know him today, this can be the day that your life changes forever. You know, Dr. McGee wrote and recorded many resources about what it means to turn to God in salvation, and we'd like to share them with you. To download them for free, you can visit us at ttb.org and click on the banner that says, "How Can I Know God?" Or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll send a few by mail. And while you're visiting us at ttb.org, be sure to check out the many other Bible study resources that we offer, including this month's featured booklet titled Fruitful Living, Discover God's Purpose for Your Life. If you want to live a life that's fruitful and in favor with God, this is one that you'll really want to read for sure. It's a beautiful booklet, too, one that you'll want to let others know about as well. It's one of the more than 100 of Dr. McGee's booklets we offer for free download when you visit the resources section of ttb.org. Now, as a reminder, if you'd like to listen to these messages again or invite a friend to join us, Dr. McGee's teaching is available online, by app, or in a bunch of other creative ways, including our Bible Bus flash drive, which contain all of our 5-year study, booklets, and more. We'd love to help you find the way that works best for you. Just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE to discuss your options. Well, our journey through the Bible continues, as always, tomorrow, when the Bible Bus comes around your corner. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be saving a seat just for you.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.